Because Jesus wouldn't say, hey, you need to beg God not to tempt you with evil. Because Jesus already knows that God's not going to tempt you with evil. Amen? So what he's saying here, I believe, is, God, would you please help me get free from the temptations that would cause me to do evil? Help me get free from the temptations that would open me up for the enemy to do evil. Set me free from every temptation that the enemy has planned for me to bring me into his evil will. Amen? And then when I get free from the temptations, I can be delivered from the evil. It says, set, you know, he says here, bring us not, set us free from the temptations. Bring us not temptation. Get everything out of me that can be tempted by evil. Get it out of me. And help me keep it out. Amen? Help me keep all the things that tempt me out. And then you'll deliver us from evil. You'll keep us from evil. So it's really key that you see that the temptation is actually the hook that Satan has. It's the bait that he has to get evil in your heart, to keep evil in your heart, to bring extra evil into your heart. Amen? So to me, we've always focused on the evil instead of the temptation. If I get free from temptation, then no evil can get in my heart. No evil can stay in my heart. That's why in the wilderness, what was the thing of the wilderness? I'm not going to get into it. We got lots of teaching on it. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was tempted in the wilderness. And we've got really good teaching on how the enemy tempts us. He tempts us the way he tempted the Lord. And there's other scripture. So he tempts us with the pride of life, what God's been dealing with in my heart. Gosh, when you really open your eyes to pride of life, you have pride of life about almost everything. You have pride of life if your church is smaller than everybody else's church. You have pride of life if your church is bigger than everybody's church. You have pride of life if your kid goes to this school. You have pride of life if your daughter gets married in this big dress, not big dress or whatever. You know what I mean? You have pride of life about everything. You can have pride of life about being a gangster. You can have pride of life about getting free from alcoholism. You can have pride of life. It's getting an identity and a feeling of importance about something that you think is special about you. You can have pride of life for being black and having to work harder than white people. If that's what you believe and been taught, and maybe that's your reality, you can have pride of life about that. You can have pride of life about preaching in blue jeans where other people preach in a three-piece suit. You can have pride of life about having your own business. You can have pride of life about working at the job you work at. Does everybody get what I'm saying? You're getting an identity from something that makes you feel important or standoutish or whatever. And you're getting your identity in something you're doing or something you have, or something that's being done for you. You can get your pride of life about God taking care of your needs. You can get your pride of life about who you're married to. Can you get this? It's like everywhere you turn, the devil's going, oh, this makes you more important. Oh, this makes you more special. Oh, this is just for you. Oh, this is just for you. Oh, this is just for you. So to get rid of that temptation, we've got to completely, completely know that it's all about Jesus, that it's all for his glory, that he's the one in charge, that everything that happens is about him. And that's not just something to have in your head. It's something for God to have to work in your heart in the wilderness. Amen? And then the other temptation is the temptation. I'm not doing these in order. You can get the teaching on that. It's called the three tests you must pass. But there's the temptation of the lust of the flesh. That's a big one. It's the first one. It's where you take on gluttony and you eat more than you need to actually be healthy. It's the one of alcoholism. It's the one of sexual perversion. It's where God created you for his good pleasure. I'm glad God created us to have a wonderful life. Amen? God created us to enjoy food. He gave us these taste buds, and he gave us part of our tongue that likes salt and part that likes sweet and part that likes this and part that likes that. And so Satan wants us to get in there and live for those things instead of enjoy those things. Amen. He wants us to pervert those things instead of enjoy those things in the way God has it set up. So no one, do you know, if everyone did it God's way, there would not be sexual disease. We wouldn't even think about it. We wouldn't even know. It wouldn't happen. It's when the lust and the perversion gets in there and the temptations of the flesh that it messes things up. It's why you have these thoughts. It's why you can't sleep. It's all these things. There's the lust of the flesh. There's the lust of the eyes. All these are kind of related. You know, you can have pride about this and pride, but the lust of the eyes is what you see you want. It's materialism. It's just looking at things and thinking, I should have that. That should belong to me, okay? So these are the things that Satan uses to tempt us with. And we've been talking about this, not really knowing I was going to go into this deeper teaching on temptation. Another really good scripture on temptation, there's a lot of them, but we won't have time for all of them. We've got a good hour left, yay. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, look at this. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to try to read it kind of fast to get to the main points. I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that our fathers, and he's talking about the fathers, the Jewish fathers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. In other words, he's talking here, our ancestors, the Israelites, were under the cloud of God. They were led by God. They passed through the sea. They got deliverance. They came out of Egypt. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock following, and that rock was Christ. And really quick, just to kind of put this together, he is preaching and talking to a group of people, showing them where their Jewish roots, their as Israelites, were all pointing to Jesus, okay? But God was not well pleased with most of them, for they were slain in the wilderness. How many would like to get out of the wilderness not being slain? I'm okay with slain in the spirit every now and then for God to deal with me and work in me and minister to me and heal me. Amen? But I don't want to die in this wilderness thing. I want to be an overcomer in the wilderness. I want to hang on to God in this thing. I want to not be a murmurer and a complainer. I want to be changed in the wilderness. Amen? To enter into what God has for my life. All right. So he says, God was not well pleased with most of them, for they were slain in the wilderness. But these things became examples for us. When you read the story of Moses, and I encourage you to read that, and it's in Numbers 14, and you see them murmuring, and you see them complaining, and never satisfied, and wanting to go back to Egypt, and never happy with what God was doing for them, and always jealous of each other, and all the mess that happened, okay? He says, these things became examples for us. For who? Us. So why? So that we would not be lusters after bad things, even as those lusted. Oh, wait a minute. God knew there was going to be a lust problem. He put Old Testament true stories in the Bible about people dying in the wilderness, about things happening to people and losing wars and terrible things that happened and things that happened to nations and families, and all these stories that he put in the Old Testament, true stories, were to warn us to not let lust lead us. I just pray that you get this. I pray this goes through to you, that lust is not a little thing. It doesn't matter how much it's in our culture. It doesn't matter how much it's in the television shows and the music and the books and everything else. Lust is a trick of the enemy. Lust will destroy you. Lust can happen to you while you're in the wilderness, while you're seeking God, while you're watching God, while you're hearing God. Lust can come and destroy you, okay? Lust, it's where your senses, your eyes, your ears, your taste, all the touch, the feel, the sexual pleasures, all the things that were placed in us for God's good pleasure, all the things that were placed in us to have these awesome lives, to be able to see, isn't that beautiful? To be able to love somebody and, you know, all those things. I don't have to go into detail. were placed inside of us, specifically created by God to put in us for us to enjoy this life, to enjoy a relationship with God. To have deep relationships that would produce children, that would glorify God, to reveal things about God. Amen? It was a beautiful, awesome artist, this creator God. And Satan hates God. And he goes, I'm going to get a hold of every one of those things that God placed in them for his good pleasure, and I'm going to pervert it so that they are worshiping me and serving me and mocking God. And Satan has done a great job at it, hasn't he? And it isn't because of just TV and media and all this stuff, because this was back in the Bible, Old Testament, before they had any of that. And they had so much perversion in the days of Noah. They had so much perversion at Sodom and Gomorrah without mass media. Amen? Okay. Here we go. He said, these things are examples for us so that we may not be lusters after bad things, even as they lust it. We shouldn't be lusters after anything. I don't like this translation, but I don't have my... on my iPad. Never be idolaters, even as some of them. And it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they stood up to play. Boy, does that not sound like America. Everybody lives just to eat and to drink and to go have a good time. Eat, drink, go have a good time. Eat, drink, go have a good time. God calls that living a life of idolatry. Because we were created to do the works the Father has for us to do. We were created to enjoy doing what he put in our hand to do. And there's a lot of scriptures for this. There's about the talents and those who do nothing with what God gives them and they have the wrong attitude. God takes that from them and some of them go to hell because of it, according to scripture. Amen? God actually gives us things that we are made in his image. How many thinks that God is lazy? How many thinks that God lives a really well-rounded life? He creates, he enjoys, he has this, he has that going, and this going, and that going, and this going, and he gives each of us things that he wants us to do for his glory. He just put this whole thing together. It's quite amazing. It'd be amazing when it all works, amen? During his reign on the earth, it's going to be powerful. But what did we just say in the prayer? We want it to work in our lives now, on earth. We want it to work in our marriages now. We want it to work in our health now. We want it to work in our finances now. Amen? And he's saying, you got to deal with this lust thing and take it serious, because I showed you in the Old Testament how bad it is and how it'll destroy you. And don't think for a second, because you're in the new covenant, that it's better in the sense we are more responsible to live free of sin because God lives inside of us. There are no excuses. None. None. How many can say none? Amen? None. Well, get rid of your justifications. Get rid of your get rid of your buts. All those are lies. Those are all lies. You got to start agreeing with truth. Amen? He says, nor should we commit fornication as some of them fornicated. Now listen to this. They were fornicating. My gosh, they were fornicating back in the days of Moses. Why does everybody think our generation came up with it? I mean, it's the same stuff. People got the pride of life about their generation being freer. You're not freer, just in more bondage, more openly in bondage. He says, we should not commit fornication as some of them fornicated, and 23,000 fell dead in one day. Wouldn't that be a good Sunday morning? Okay, everybody who fornicated this week, you're all dropping dead at the same time. It happened. Why did it happen? What does it say it happened for? For our example. I would say if you ever fornicated, now is a very good time to really hate it and repent. fornication, intimacy, crossing lines with someone you're not married to, okay? That's what it is. All right. Neither over tempt the Christ. Gosh, I need my Bible. Ugh. Sorry. Let me read this one. I like, you know how you like your own Bible? This is a borrowed Bible. Neither over tempt the Christ. What does somebody else say there? Do not let us tempt Christ. What he can be. Neither over tempt the Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Okay, what that is talking about, because you can't really tempt Christ. What that is talking about, don't get him to the point where he says enough and sends serpents. Don't play with his grace. Don't play with his mercy. Don't sit there and play and play and play until he says enough. And all of a sudden, you are back addicted to drugs. You are a full-fledged alcoholic. You find yourself in an affair. You find yourself in a situation where you've hurt or done something you didn't want to do because you played with sin. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. Don't get yourself thinking that it's okay. No matter what you do, God will forgive you and it will be okay. He is saying here, New Testament, he is saying it, right? In New Testament, he is saying it was an example that when those people kept complaining and griping and sinning, they dropped dead 23,000 in a day for fornicating. And what God is saying here, do not push him by playing with sin. Boy, that sure is opposite of that false grace message out there, isn't it? It's so much fun preaching. We need the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord says, wow, God wiped out 23,000 people who were not even filled with his spirit because they were sinning against him. And I'm not going to look at this pornography anymore. I am not going to the bar and drinking that. I am not going to watch that. I am not giving into that. I am choosing to have some wisdom, and I'm going to reverence and fear this God who can send me to hell. Amen. And I'm not going to hide behind doctrine made of man that says once you say a prayer, you're always saved, when the scripture doesn't even say anything close to that. It literally straight out says the opposite. And this is a scripture where it says the opposite. It says, do not keep playing games with Christ. I'm going to put it in this. As some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur. Murmuring is moaning and groaning, passive aggressive, under your breath about stuff. I hope some of you got a hold of quit murmuring. God has shown me. I don't murmur. I used to murmur. John would make me mad, and I'd go down the hallway. I'm going to believe him to do that. And he just kind of, what do you guys say? Go in there and tell him what you said. Do you want a really big yelling fight here, God? So, well, then don't say it if you're not going to go tell him what you said. But they made me go tell him, I said this after you just said that. John is so nice, he kind of looks at you.